Chapter 3. A hospital visit. Quitters never win. The shed. 1. The psycho house looked less psycho by the dawn's early light, although the mist rising from all that high grass did give it a gothic air. Radar must have been waiting because she began thudding against the bolted dog door as soon as she heard me on the steps, which were loose and spongy. Another accident waiting to happen, and another chore waiting for someone to do it. "Easy, girl," I said, putting the key in the lock. "You'll sprain something." She was all over me as soon as the door was open, jumping up and putting her front paws on my leg, arthritis be damned. She followed me into the kitchen and watched, tail wagging, as I scraped one last full cup from her diminishing food supply. While she ate, I texted Dad, and asked if he would stop by a place called Pet Pantry on his lunch hour or after work and pick up a bag of dog food. Origin Regional Red. Then I sent another, saying I'd pay him back and Mr. Bowditch would pay me. I considered and sent a third one. Better get a big bag. It didn't take me long, but Radar was already done. She brought me the monkey and dropped it beside my chair, then burped. "Excuse you," I said, and soft-tossed the monkey. She pounced and brought it back. I tossed it again, and while she was going after it, my phone binged. It was Dad. No problem. I gave her another toss, but instead of going after it, she limp-trotted down the hall of old reading matter and outside. Not knowing if there was a leash, I broke off another piece of pecan sandy to coax her back in if needed. I was pretty sure it would do the job. Radar was the original chow hound. Getting her in didn't turn out to be a problem. She squatted in one place to do her number one and another to do her number two. She came back, looked at the steps the way a mountaineer might look at a tough climb, then made her way halfway up. She sat for a moment, then managed the rest. I wasn't sure how long she'd be able to do that without help. "Gotta go," I said. "See you later, Gator." We'd never had a dog, so I didn't know how expressive their eyes could be, especially up close and personal. Hers told me not to go. I would have been happy to stay, but, as that poem says, I had promises to keep. I stroked her a few times and told her to be good. I remembered reading somewhere that a dog ages 7 years for each one of ours. Just a rule of thumb, surely, but at least a way to figure. And what did that mean to a dog, time-wise? If I came back at 6 to feed her, that would be about 12 hours of my time. Would that be 84 hours for her? 3.5 days? If so, no wonder she was so happy to see me. Plus, she had to be missing Mr. Bowditch. I locked the door, went down the steps, and looked toward the place where she'd done her business. Policing the backyard was another chore that could use doing. Unless Mr. Bowditch had done it himself. With all that high grass, it was impossible to tell. If he hadn't, somebody should. "You're somebody," I thought, as I went back to my bike. Which was true, but as it happened, I was a busy somebody. In addition to baseball, I was thinking of trying out for the end-of-the-year play, High School Musical. I had fantasies of singing Breaking Free with Gina Pascarelli, who was a senior and gorgeous. A woman bundled up in a tartan coat was standing by my bike. I thought she was Mrs. Ragland. Or maybe it was Reagan.
"Are you the one who called the ambulance?" she asked.
"Yes, ma'am," I said.
"How bad is he? Bowditch?"
"I don't really know. He broke his leg, for sure."
"Well, that was your good deed for the day. Maybe for the year. He's not much of a neighbor, keeps mostly to himself, but I've nothing against him. Except for the house, which is an eyesore. You're George Reed's son, aren't you?"
"That's right." She held out her hand.
"Althea Richland."
I shook with her. "Pleased to meet you."
"What about the mutt? That's a scary dog, a German shepherd. He used to walk him early mornings and sometimes after dark when the kids were inside."
She pointed to the sadly sagging picket fence.
"That certainly wouldn't hold him."
"It's a her, and I'm taking care of her."
"That's very good of you. I hope you won't get bitten."
"She's pretty old now, and not mean."
To you, maybe, Mrs. Richland said. My father had a saying, an old dog will bite twice as hard. A reporter from that rag of a weekly came by and asked me what happened. I think he's the one who does the call-outs, police, fire, ambulance, that kind of thing. She sniffed. He looked about your age.
I'll keep that in mind, I said, not knowing why I should. I better get going, Mrs. Richland. I want to visit Mr. Bowditch before school.
She laughed. If it's Arcadia, visiting hours don't start until 9. They'll never let you in this early. 2. They did, though. Explaining that I had school and baseball practice after didn't quite convince the lady at the front desk, but when I told her I was the one who had called the ambulance, she told me I could go up.
Room 322, elevators are on your right.
Halfway down the third floor hall, a nurse asked me if I was here to see Howard Bowditch. I said I was, and asked how he was doing.
He's had one operation, and he's going to need another. Then he'll be facing a fairly long period of convalescence, and he'll need a lot of physical therapy. Melissa Wilcox will probably be the one to take that on. The leg break was a particularly bad one, and he also pretty much destroyed his hip. It will need a replacement. Otherwise, he'll be spending the rest of his life on a walker or in a wheelchair, no matter how much therapy he does.
Jeez, I said. Does he know?
The doctor who set the break will have told him what he needs to know right now. You called the ambulance?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you may have saved his life. Between the shock and possibly spending a night outdoors?
She shook her head. It was the dog. I heard his dog howling.
Did the dog call 911?
I admitted that had been me.
If you want to see him, you better go on down. I just gave him a shot for pain, and it will probably put him under before long. Broken leg and hip aside, he's severely underweight. Easy pickings for osteoporosis. You might get 15 minutes before he's off to see the wizard.
3. Mr. Bowditch's leg was up in a pulley contraption that looked straight out of a 1930s comedy movie, only Mr. Bowditch wasn't laughing. Neither was I. The lines on his face looked deeper, almost carved. The dark circles under his eyes were darker. His hair appeared lifeless and thin, the red streaks in it looking faded. I guess he had a roommate, but I never saw him because a green drape was drawn across the other half of 322. Mr. Bowditch saw me and tried to straighten up in his bed, which made him grimace and hiss out a breath.
Hello there. What's your name again? If you told me, I don't remember. Which, given the circumstances, might be forgivable.
I couldn't remember if I had either, so I gave it again, or for the first time, then asked how he was feeling.
Extremely shitty. Just look at me.
I'm sorry.
Not as sorry as I am.
Then, with an effort to be civil,
Thank you, young Mr. Reed. They tell me you may have saved my life. It doesn't feel like it's worth much just now. But as the Buddha supposedly said, it changes. Sometimes for the better. Although, in my experience, that's rare.
I told him, as I had my father, the EMTs and Mrs. Richland, that it was really the dog who had saved him. If I hadn't heard her howling, I would have biked on by.
How is she?
Fine. I took a chair by his bed and showed him the pictures I'd taken of Radar with her monkey. He went back and forth between them several times. I had to show him how to do that. The pics made him seem happier, if not necessarily any healthier.
Facing a long period of convalescence, the nurse had said.
When he handed the phone back, the smile was gone.
They haven't told me how long I'm going to be in this damn sick bay, but I'm not stupid. I know it's going to be a while. I guess I need to think about putting her down. She's had a good life, but now her hips are...
Geez, don't do that, I said, alarmed. I'll take care of her. Happy to do it. He looked at me, and for the first time, his expression wasn't one of irritation or resignation. You do that?
Can I trust you to do that?
Yes. She's almost out of food, but my dad's getting a bag of that Origin stuff today. 6 morning, 6 evening. I'll be there. Count on it. He reached for me, maybe meaning to take my hand, or at least give it a pat. I would have allowed it, but he pulled his hand back.
That's very good of you.
I like her, and she likes me.
Does she? Good. She's not a bad old pal.
His eyes were getting glassy, his voice a little slurry. Whatever the nurse had given him was starting to work.
No harm in her, but she used to scare the shit out of the neighborhood kids, which I appreciated. Nosy little brats, most of them. Nosy and noisy. As for burglars, forget it. If they heard radar, they'd head for the hills. But now she's old.
He sighed, then coughed. It made him wince.
And she's not the only one.
I'll take good care of her, maybe walk her down the hill to my place.
His eyes sharpened a little as he considered this possibility.
She's never been in anyone else's since I got her as a pup. Just my house, the yard.
Mrs. Richland said you took her on walks.
The nosy Parker across the street. Well, yes, she's right. We did go on walks when Radar was able to go without getting tired. I'd be afraid to take her any distance now. What if I got her down Pine Street and she couldn't make it back?
He looked down at himself.
Now I'm the one who couldn't make it back. Couldn't make it anywhere.
I won't push her, you know, overtax her. He relaxed.
I'll pay you for what she eats. And for your time, that too.
Don't worry about it.
She might be okay for a while yet when I get home. If I get home.
You will, Mr. Bowditch.
If you're going to feed her, better call me Howard.
I didn't know if I could do that, but I agreed.
Maybe bring me another picture?
Sure. I better go, Mr. Howard. You should rest up.
No choice.
His eyes slipped closed. Then the lid slowly came up again.
Whatever she gave me, high-tension stuff.
His eyes closed again. I got up and headed for the door.
Boy, what was your name again?
Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. I thought maybe give her another chance. Not for me. Once was enough for me. Life gets to be a burden. If you live long enough, you'll find that out for yourself. But her? Radar. And then I got old and fell off the fucking ladder.
I'll bring you some more pictures.
You do that.
I turned to go, and then he spoke again, but I don't think it was to me.
A brave man helps. A coward just gives presents.
He fell silent and began to snore. Halfway down the hall, I saw the nurse I'd spoken to coming out of a room with what looked like a bag of cloudy pee. She saw me and put a towel over it. She asked if I'd had a nice visit. Yes, but he wasn't making much sense by the end. She smiled.
Demerol will do that. Go on now. You should be in school.
4. By the time I got to Hillview, period 2 had been going on for 10 minutes and the halls were empty. I went to the office to get an excused late slip from Mrs. Silvius, a nice old lady with scary blue hair. She had to be at least 75, long past the usual retirement age, but still plenty sharp and good-humored. I think good humor must be necessary when you're dealing with teenagers.
I hear you saved a man's life yesterday, she said as she signed the slip.
Who told you that?
A little birdie. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Word gets around, Charlie.
I took the slip. It really wasn't me. It was the guy's dog. I heard her howling. I was getting tired of telling people this because nobody believed me, which was strange. I thought everyone liked stories about hero dogs. I just called 911.
Whatever you say. Now run along to class.
Can I show you something first?
Only if it's a speedy something.
I took out my phone and showed her the picture I'd snapped of Mr. Bowditch's TV. That's an antenna on top, right?
Rabbit ears, we called them,
Mrs. Sylvia said. Her smile was very similar to the one Mr. Bowditch had worn when he was looking at the pictures of radar with her monkey.
We used to put tin foil on the tips of ours because it was supposed to improve the reception. But look at the television, Charlie, my goodness, does it actually work?
I don't know, I didn't try it.
The first TV we ever had looked like this, a table model Zenith. It was so heavy, my father strained his back carrying it up the steps to the apartment we lived in back then. We watched that thing by the hour. Annie Oakley, Wild Bill Hickok, Captain Kangaroo, Crusader Rabbit. Gosh, until we got headaches. And once it wouldn't work, the picture just rolled and rolled, so my dad called a TV repairman who came with a suitcase full of tubes.
Tubes?
Vacuum tubes. They glowed orange like old-fashioned light bulbs. He replaced the one that had gone bad, and it worked fine again.
She looked at the picture on my phone once more.
Surely the tubes for this one would have burned out long ago.
Mr. Bowditch probably bought more on eBay or Craigslist, I said. You can buy anything on the internet, if you can afford it, that is. Only I didn't think Mr. Bowditch did internet. Mrs. Silvius handed my phone back.
Go along, Charlie. Physics awaits you.
5. Coach Harkness was on me that afternoon at practice like white on rice, or more accurately, like flies on shit, because shit was how I played. During the three-cone footwork drill, I kept moving the wrong way, and once I tried to move both ways at once, and ended up on my ass, which caused much hilarity. During the double play drill, I got caught off my position at first, and the ball from the second baseman went whizzing past where I should have been and ended up bouncing off the gym wall. When coach hit me a dribbler up the line, I charged the ball okay, but didn't get my glove down, and the ball, just a bunny rolling at walking speed, went through my legs. But bunting was the final straw for Coach Harkness. I kept popping it up to the pitcher instead of laying one down along the third baseline. Coach erupted from his lawn chair and stalked to the plate with his belly swinging and his whistle bouncing between his not inconsiderable breasts.
Jesus Christ, Reed, you look like an old lady. Stop punching at the ball. Just get the bat down and let the ball hit it. How many times do I have to tell you?
He grabbed the bat, elbowed me aside, and faced Randy Morgan, that day's tryout pitcher.
Throw! And put some goddamn hair on it!
Randy threw as hard as he could. Coach bent and laid down a perfect bunt. It trickled along the third baseline just fair. Steve Dombrowski charged it, tried for a barehand pickup, and lost the handle. Coach turned to me.
There! That's how it's done. I don't know what's on your mind, but get rid of it!
What was on my mind was radar, back at Mr. Bowditch's house, waiting for me to come. 12 hours for me, maybe 3.5 days for her. She wouldn't know why she had been left alone. And a dog couldn't play with the squeaky monkey if there was no one there to throw it. Was she trying not to make a mess in the house, or with the dog door bolted? Had she done it already somewhere? If so, she might not understand that it wasn't her fault. Plus the scraggy lawn and the sagging picket fence. Those things were on my mind, too. Coach Harkness handed me the bat.
Now lay one down and do it right.
Randy didn't try to drill it in there, just threw a batting practice pitch to get me off the hook. I squared around and popped it up. Randy didn't even have to get off the practice mound to glove it.
That's it.
Coach said.
Gimme five!
Meaning 5 laps around the gym. No. All the chatter in the gym died. Both in our half and the girls' volleyball half. Everyone was watching. Randy put his glove over his mouth, maybe to hide a smile. Coach put his hands on his meaty hips.
What did you just say to me?
I didn't drop the bat because I wasn't mad. I just held it out to him, and in his amazement, he took it. I said, no, I'm done. I started for the door that led to the lockers.
Get back here, Reed.
I didn't even shake my head, just kept going.
You come back now, not when you cool down, because then it'll be too late.
But I was cool. Cool and calm. Happy, even. Like when you see the solution to a troubling math problem isn't half as hard as it looked at first.
God damn it, Reed!
He sounded a little panicked now. Maybe because I was his best hitter, or maybe because this rebellion was happening in front of the rest of the team.
Get back here! Winners never quit, and quitters never win!
Then call me a loser, I said. I went down the stairs to the locker room and changed up. That was the end of my baseball career at Hillview High. And did I regret it? No. Did I regret letting my teammates down? A little, but as Coach was fond of pointing out, there's no I in team. They would have to get along without me. I had other business to take care of. 6. I got the mail out of Mr. Bowditch's box, nothing personal, just the usual dandruff, and let myself in through the back door. Radar couldn't quite jump up on me, I guess she was having a bad day, so I took her gently by the front paws, lifted her, and placed them on my waist so I could stroke her upturned head. I gave a few to her graying muzzle for good measure. She made her careful way down the porch steps and did her business. Once again, she gave that assessing look to the porch steps before climbing them. I told her she was a good girl, and Coach Harkness would be proud. I tossed the squeaky monkey for her a few times and took some pictures. There were other squeakies in her toy basket, but the monkey was clearly her go-to. She followed me outside when I went to collect the fallen ladder. I carried it down to the shed, saw the heavy-duty padlock on the door, and just propped it under the eave. While I was doing it, Radar started to growl. She was crouched down 20 feet in front of the padlocked door, ears back and muzzle wrinkled. What is it, girl? If a skunk or a woodchuck got in there, I can't do anything about... From behind the door came a scratching, followed by a weird chittering noise that stood up the hair on the back of my neck. Not an animal sound. I'd never heard anything exactly like it. Radar barked, then whined, then backed away with her belly still on the ground. I felt like backing away myself, but instead, I whammed on the door with the side of my fist and waited. There was nothing. I could have chalked those sounds up to my imagination if not for Radar's reaction. But there was nothing I could do about it. In any case, the door was locked and there were no windows. I gave the door another wham, almost daring that weird sound to come again. It didn't. So I walked back to the house. Radar struggled to her feet and followed me. I looked back once and saw that she was looking back too. 7. I played monkey with Radar for a while. When she lay down on the linoleum and gave me a look that said, all done, I called my dad and told him I'd quit baseball.
I know, he said. Coach Harkness already called me. He said things got a little hot, but he was willing for you to come back, on the condition that you apologize, first to him and then to the whole team. Because you let them down, he said. That was irritating, but also funny.
Dad, it wasn't the state finals, just practice in the gym, and he was being a dick. Although, I was used to that, we all were. Coach H's picture could have been next to Dick in the dictionary.
So no apologizing, is that what I'm hearing?
I could apologize for not having my head on straight, because it wasn't. I was thinking about Mr. Bowditch and radar and this place. It's not falling down, but it's getting there. I could do a lot of stuff if I had time, and now I do.
He took a few seconds to process that, and then said, I'm not sure I understand why that feels necessary to you. Taking care of the dog, that I get, it's a mitzvah, but you don't know Bowditch from Adam. And what was I going to say to that? Was I going to tell my father that I'd made a deal with God?
Even if he was kind enough not to laugh, he probably would be, he'd tell me that sort of thinking was best left to children, evangelicals, and cable news-watching junkies who really believed some kind of magic pillow or diet would cure all their ills.
Worst case scenario, he might think I was trying to lay claim to the sobriety he was working so hard to maintain.
There was something else, too. It was private. My thing.
Charlie, still there?
I'm here. All I can say is I want to do what I can until he's back on his feet again.
Dad sighed. He's not a kid who fell out of an apple tree and broke his arm. He's old. He may never get on his feet again.
Have you thought about that?
I hadn't, and didn't see any reason to start. You know what they say in your program, one day at a time.
He chuckled.
We also say the past is history and the future's a mystery.
Good one, Dad. So are we okay with the baseball thing?
Yes, but making the All-State team at the end of the season would have looked good on your college apps. You know that, right?
I do.
What about football? Are you thinking of dumping that too?
Not right now. At least when it came to football, I wouldn't have Coach Harkness to deal with. Mr. Bowditch may be better by the time practice starts in August.
Or not.
Or not, I agreed. The future's a mystery.
Indeed it is. When I think of that night your mother decided to walk down to the Zippy.
He trailed off.
I couldn't think of anything to say either. Do one thing for me, Charlie. A reporter from the Weekly Sun came by and asked for your contact info. I didn't give it to him, but I got his. He wants to interview you about saving Bowditch, human interest kind of deal. I think you should do it.
I didn't really save him. It was radar.
You can tell him that, but if the colleges you apply to have questions about why you quit baseball, an article like that...
I got it. Give me his number.
He did, and I put it in my contacts. You'll be home for dinner?
As soon as I give radar hers.
Good. I love you, Charlie.
I told him I loved him too, which was true. Good man, my dad. Had a hard time, but got through it. Not everyone does. 8. After I fed Radar and told her I'd be back tomorrow, bright and early, I walked down to the shed. I didn't really want to. There was something very unpleasant about that windowless little building in the encroaching dark of a chilly April evening, but I made myself do it. I stood in front of the padlocked door, listening. No scratching. No weird chittering sound like some alien creature in a science fiction movie. I didn't want to hit the door with my fist, so I made myself do it. Twice. Hard. Nothing. Which was a relief. I got on my bike, rode down Sycamore Street Hill, tossed my glove on the top shelf of my closet, then looked at it for a while before closing the door. It's a good game, baseball. There's nothing like coming up in the top of the ninth and socking one right up the gap, and nothing like riding home on the bus from an away game after a big win, everybody laughing and rowdy and grab-assing around. So, yeah, some regret, but really not a lot. I thought of that saying of the Buddha's, it changes. I decided there was a lot of truth in those two little words, a hell of a lot. I called the reporter guy. The Weekly Sun was a freebie which contained a few local interest news and sports stories buried in a shitload of ads. There was always a pile of them by the door of the Zippy with a sign saying, "Take one," to which some wit had added, "Take them all." The reporter's name was Bill Harriman. I answered his questions, once again giving Radar most of the credit. Mr. Harriman asked if he could snap a picture of the two of us.
"Gee, I don't know. I'd have to have Mr. Bowditch's permission, and he's in the hospital."
"Ask him tomorrow or the next day. Would you do that? I'll have to file the story soon if it's going to run in next week's issue."
"I will if I can, but I think he was scheduled for another operation. They might not let me visit him, and I really can't do it without his permission."
The last thing I wanted was for Mr. Bowditch to be mad at me, and he was the kind of guy who got mad easily. I looked up the word for people like that later on. It was misanthrope.
"Oh, understood, understood. Let me know one way or the other, soon as you can.
Hey, aren't you the kid who scored the winning touchdown against Stanford Prep in the Turkey Bowl last November?"
"That was me, but it wasn't like a SportsCenter top 10 play or anything. We were on their 2-yard line and I just punched it in."
He laughed.
"Modest, I like that.
Give me a call, Charlie."
I said I would, hung up, and went downstairs to watch some TV with my dad before studying. I wondered how Radar was doing. Okay, I hoped. Getting used to a different routine. I thought of that saying of the Buddha's again. That was a good one to hold on to.